Abhyayati enhances asa hi lokam, the whole world. Vadana, by his face. Amrita murtina, moon-like. Sa anuraga, affectionate. Avalokena, with glances. Vishada, bright. Smita, smiling. Charuna, beautiful. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This king, Prithu Maharaja, by virtue of his affectionate glances and beautiful moon-like face, which is always smiling with great affection for the citizens, will enhance everyone's peaceful life. There's no purport to this verse. We'll read the next verse, text 10. Please hear. Avyakta vatmaisa niguda karyo gambira veda upagupta vitta ananta mahatmya gunaika dama prituhu pracheta iva sam prutatma. Translation. The reciters continued, no one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his position will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water. Purport. There is a predominating deity for all the material elements, and Varuna or Pracheta is the predominating deity of the seas and the oceans. From outward appearances, the seas and oceans are devoid of life, but a person acquainted with the sea knows that within the water exist many varieties of life. The king of that underwater kingdom is Varuna. Just as no one can understand what is going on beneath the sea, no one could understand what policy King Prithu was following to make everything successful. Indeed, King Prithu's path of diplomacy was very vague. His success was made possible because he was a reservoir of unlimited glorified qualities. The word Upagupta Vittaha is very significant in this verse. It indicates that no one would know the extent of the riches King Prithu would confidentially keep. The idea is that not only the king but everyone should keep his hard-earned money confidentially and secretly, so that in due course of time the money can be spent for good practical purposes. In Kali Yuga, however, the king or government has no well-protected treasury, and the only means of circulation is currency notes made of paper. Thus, in times of distress, the government artificially inflates the currency by simply printing papers, and this artificially raises the price of commodities, and the general condition of the citizens becomes very precarious. Thus, keeping one's money very secretly is an old practice, for we find this practice present even during the reign of Maharaja Prithu. Just as the king has a right to keep his treasury confidential and secret, the people should also keep their individual earnings a secret. There is no fault in such dealings. The main point is that everyone should be trained in the system of Varnashrama Dharma, so that the money is spent only for good causes and nothing else.
Umajnanathimirandasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guruho shri uta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathanvitam tam sajivam Sādvaitam Sāvadūtam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe Vrinda, Vaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sute Devi, Pranamami, Haripriye, Pancha Kalpata Rubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Jai Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadara, Sri Vasadi, Gaurabhakta Vrinda,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bhagavatam is always about glorifying the Lord and His devotees. And because it is done in a poetic way, we get to understand how people communicated, and this gives us a glimpse of how things work in the spiritual world, where every step is a dance and every word is like a poem. So the King Ritu is being praised, and it is done in a very poetic way by the professional reciters. Despite the fact that they got mildly chastised for praising him, Prithu Maharaj said, "I have not exhibited these qualities yet, still you are praising me, so it may seem like an insult." But the professional reciter said, "No, we have been asked by the sages to praise you, and you will exhibit these qualities in the future. So that's why we are glorifying you." Prithu Maharaj retaliated, saying, "If you want to glorify, please glorify the Lord." Then the reciter said, "Yes, you are also partial expansion of the Lord, so that's why we are glorifying you." Prithu Maharaj said, "No, I have not exhibited the qualities that you are saying that I have. Now in future you will exhibit them. Anyway, we are praising you for that." So, continued. So here we see that how each quality of Maharaj Prithu is compared with that of a demigod. Earlier we saw how he would extract taxes just like a sun takes away water and later on gives it as a rain. So in this verse, in these two verses, the face of Maharaj Prithu is described just like beautiful moon-like face. It is always smiling and it is giving affection to the citizen. One may expect that, okay, he's a very nice person, he's very affectionate, he's smiling, and so which means he's going to give all his money to everybody freely. So it's a free treasury. I'll give the keys to you because I'm always a good person, I like to give everything away, so here's the key. No. The next verse immediately says that no one knows how the king kept his money. Where does he keep it? How much does he have? Nothing was revealed. So, to bring out that, the example of Varuna, the sea, is mentioned. How, although this, we may see the sea, but we may not see what's inside the sea. It is so deep that so many animals and creatures which are habituated to living in the sea, they live there, but we may not be able to see them. And we have a predominating deity of the ocean, which is Varuna or Pracheta. So he is the one who is a predominating deity. So this nice example of how the visibility of the what's underneath the sea is covered from us. Similarly, how much money Prithu Maharaj has, what's his treasury, where does he keep, all that is kept confidential. He follows a path of diplomacy which was very grave. Although he is a smiling person, he is very affectionate as far as money is concerned, he is grave, he is diplomatic. So, as far as reading this purport, cannot stop thinking about Srila Prabhupada. You see him as the most affectionate spiritual Master comes out to the West, giving out mercy to everybody, affectionate. But still, when the negotiation of the with Mr. Price and forgot the other agent who was trying to lure him with this words, His Excellency, he uses the term, whenever he meets Prabhupada, he uses the word, oh, Your Excellency, how are you? And all that. But Prabhupada could sense, okay, too much of devotion means it's a sign of a thief. So he was very careful in those dealings where he would keep separate bank accounts, one separately for him, another one would be given to devotees, so he is the one who will transfer the money from his account to the common account which the devotees can access, and they have to get his permission. Every transaction that goes through, Prabhupada is the one who gives out the Lakshmi, even for a small thing. So they have to write, they kept books, and it was all properly maintained. This is the other side of Srila Prabhupada. He's not yet another Babaji in Vrindavan who wants to renounce things and who just wants to do his own bhajan. He is a person who is able to come out to the West. Before coming to the West, he did his strong bhajan, and after that he is capable of starting a movement. So when you are starting the movement, you should know how to deal with the world. Vidya avidyam cha. So you should know what is vidya, what is nescience, both. So that's when, despite repeated warnings by Srila Prabhupada, his disciples, earlier disciples, fell in the trap of Mr. Price and gave him the money without any receipt. Later on, they fought back and got almost out of $5,000-$6,000. They almost got 4,000, roughly that much back. So Prabhupada also poetically says, when you're dealing with a tiger, expect to get scratched. So we got something back, but there was a little bit of a scratch. So what is lost was lost, but we at least got something back. So he was exhibiting this quality of keeping money safe and keeping it. Those dealings were great. Otherwise, outside when he comes out and talks to other devotees, he's giving out his affectionate glances, and he is merciful, and that aspect comes out. Now, in his usual style of criticizing the current politicians and also the economy, Prabhupada picks up this word, Upa Gupta Vittaha, and then brings out the contrast as to how Maharaj Pitu ruled his kingdom and how the modern economy works. I was thinking about this whole point about inflation and then economy, I'm not good in economics, so I was expecting somebody in the audience could help me about this whole thing about printing of money. And then I find Abhishek sitting here. He deals with a lot of money, I believe. He works for the bank. Now, Abhishek, can you explain how does printing money lead to inflation or decrease inflation, or how does it work?
You just have a currency in the economy. It's like if everybody had $10, you give everybody, print someone $10, you give everybody $10.
Yeah, that's where my question is, like, government, so Abhishek is saying that there's a shortage of money, then we print more money and then we give it. But government doesn't give money to everybody, right? So you print money, you don't give straight away to public. So how does that happen? Like, you still have to earn money, or?
There's more money, the economy, salaries increase. Ah. Well, and then the money goes into, so people start, because they have more salary, they start to pay more for goods.
Okay, so if there's more money in the treasury, how does that money go to the public? Like, if the banks give more money, or banks are willing to lend more, and then
people's salaries increase.
Okay.
And because people's salaries increase, if there's a good that people are competing for, they start to pay the price up higher.
Okay, so that's how it works. That Srila Prabhupada writes in this how Kali Yuga governments work. When there's no well protected treasury, then they start to. Sorry. They start to print currency notes made of paper. So then, as Abhishek is explaining, so then that gets given out to banks or other sources through which people can get more money. So then, now that they have got more money, they are willing to buy things. So then the prices go up so that people can buy more things. And then the demand, when the demand of the things grow, then they have to produce more, they have to employ more people. So then they will employ more people, and then there is a shortage of manpower. So those people who are skilled, they will claim more salary from others. So then they have to pay for those who are skilled. And then those who get more money, so they are going to go out and spend more money. So it is like a vicious cycle. It's not a permanent solution. I was also listening to a quote from one of the politicians from Britain. He was saying that the government likes to keep the citizens in ignorance. They don't want citizens to become too much knowledgeable about how they run the government or how things work. They like people to be kept in ignorance. And in the recent talk, Dayavata Maharaj was telling how he met great politicians in New Zealand, I believe. Then they were asked, the Maharaj started to talk to them, and they were telling, what would you know about running a government? They expect the citizens to watch TV, watch the footy, and then just relax. So we know how to run the government and we will take care of it. So that's the whole idea, is this vicious cycle people may not know. And thinking that they will help the people by printing more money, but actually it leads to further problems. Whereas the Bhaktivedanta purports and the teachings of Srila Prabhupada go to the core, and then they bring out the root cause, which is greed. So there is no material solution for greed as such. Only by taking up devotional service to the Supreme Lord, then you start to acquire knowledge. So one of the items of knowledge is simplicity, and the other items of knowledge include accepting a spiritual teacher, and then the crucial one is unalloyed devotion to the Lord. When one is able to approach a spiritual teacher, start a spiritual journey by acquiring spiritual knowledge, and then get to the point of doing unalloyed devotional service to the Lord, then that helps one to develop satisfaction in the heart. One starts to see things as they are. So spiritual master is known to carry the torchlight of knowledge and open the darkened eyes. So here Prabhupada is opening the eyes to how the economy works, and how it is not taking them in the proper direction. He doesn't stop that. He also gives a positive alternative spiritual solution for material problems. So by cultivating unalloyed devotion to the Lord, you start experiencing satisfaction. So your greed, your demand to get things, so your attraction to the sense objects starts to reduce, because that's one of the divine qualities as well, where you start to get detached from the sense objects. So even though the outside world is going to present to you a lot of objects by which you can enjoy, first thing, you are getting the knowledge that this enjoyment is short-lived. Secondly, you are experiencing a superior taste or a higher satisfaction by engaging in devotional service. By all this, one gradually loses taste for material things. So even though the outside world promotes things to us, throws things at us, because we are internally satisfied by developing one of the divine qualities and also adapting to the items of knowledge as described by Krishna in the 13th chapter, we start to live a simple life, simplicity. So by acquiring such divine assets, which are listed as the divine qualities and the items of knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, one is able to overcome his urge to acquire material assets. So by getting these divine assets, it's not that you renounce your family. In that section, Prabhupada writes as to how one of the qualities is to develop detachment from house, home, family. In the purport, Prabhupada clarifies, does not mean that one should abandon them, but one has to maintain them, but one gets detached from them by doing his duty, dedicating the results to the Lord, by making the home a temple as a place of worship, and you are making your earning for the Lord for that particular purpose. It gives a purpose as to why you go and earn money. So you have your schedule where you have your 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. where you dedicate for spiritual activities, you strengthen yourself, and then from 9 to 5 you go out to the outside world, you face the problems or work, whatever pressure or whatever you have to go to, you go through it. So your 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. is packed with devotional activities. Devotion, that gives you a lot of higher taste. So this month especially, we have the opportunity to sing Damodar Ashtakam, and then we read the translation, we offer the lamps. That actually puts us in a higher platform. But can everybody remain completely engaged throughout in devotional activities? May be or may not be. So those who have to go out, so this form of the Lord who we read in the translation, his face is covered by circles or curly hair, his face has got reddish lips, he's smiling. All the beautiful form of the Lord is being brought out, and we meditate on that form of the Lord, we chant. But then 9 to 5, can I still meditate on that form of the Lord? I have to be in the outside world where it's like a constant struggle, and it's like you're working in a, it's like a rat race. If so, somebody else may take over, or you are under high pressure, you're constantly working. So what form of the Lord can I meditate when I'm at work? So Damodar Ashtakam, Bhagavatam, all that helps during the up to 7 a.m. If you are very highly exalted, you can still meditate. But then Bhagavad Gita comes to a rescue during the 9 to 5, where Krishna says, Mam Anushmara Yudhyasya, think of me and fight. So going to work is like fighting. So where you have to meet envious people, people with different mentalities, it's a totally materialistic environment. But still you have to go in and make a living. So you go in. So that time you think of the form of the Lord when he is in the battlefield. It's beautifully described as to how the face of the Lord in the battlefield was covered with a little bit of perspiration due to his driving the horses and activities that he is doing, and he is helping Arjuna in the battlefield. Many soldiers see that beautiful form of the Lord, as they are fighting. And one of the such exalted devotee who saw that beautiful form of the Lord is Bhishma Dev. He is on the other side. He could see that beautiful form of the Lord, and he still, it's a warfare and still going on. Despite the fact that it is a battlefield, the soldiers were still attracted to see the face of the Lord. Tatayava chanye naraloka veera eahave Krishna mukaravindam netrai pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastrakuta padamapurasya. Through their eyes, pibanti means drinking. They are drinking the beauty of the Lord through their eyes. And as they are doing it, they are being pierced by the arrows of Arjuna. Still they don't mind. They are just seeing the form of the Lord and leaving their body. Krishna mukaravindam netrai pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastrakuta. So despite the fact they are getting killed, they are seeing the form of the Lord and they are able to get liberated. So while we are being crushed by our bosses, when the business is very crucial and things are not going very well, still we can meditate on that form of the Lord who is fighting in the battlefield. Still remember him and then carry on with your activity. So when I mentioned about the process of bhakti, which will give you the satisfaction, one of the main angas of bhakti is to shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam. And then when it comes to archanam, that's when you see the form of the Lord. Because a couple of verses came to my mind about the beauty of the Lord, which describes this is in the Kapila Dev section. When he is talking to Mother Devahuti, he starts to describe how a yogi has to meditate on the different forms of different parts of the Lord's body. So in that section, Lord Kapila Dev begins by describing the feet of the Lord. Sanchintaye bhagavatas charanaravindam vajrangusa dvajas saroruha lanchanatyam uttunga rakta vilasannaka chakravalam joshnadi viragat mahat hridayandakaram. Sanchintaye bhagavatas charanaravindam. One has to meditate on the feet of the Lord, which is marked with vajra angusa, all the thunderbolt and all auspicious signs. Why should one do that? It's because our heart, hridaya andhakaram, so our heart is full with ignorance. So the Lord's feet has got all those auspicious signs by which it breaks that ignorance. So why do you want to enjoy sense objects? It's because we are covered by ignorance. We think that we can become happy by consuming material substances. When that ignorance starts to go away, then your desire to enjoy the sense objects comes down. So that section of Bhagavatam progresses, and then Kapila Dev starts to describe each limb of the Lord nicely as to how the yogi has to meditate later on the on the calves, where on the knees and the calves where Mother Lakshmi is sitting, and then on the thighs, then the hips, then the Lord's navel, which is moon-like, and then his nipples, then his chest and the neck, then the arms, then the garland he wears, then his pearl necklace, and then his lotus face. Here is another amazing verse which talks about the beauty of the face. So we saw how Prithu Maharaj's face was moon-like, and he is giving smiling glances. So similarly, in that section where Lord Kapila is asking Mother Devahuti to meditate. So he describes the face of the Lord. Ha samhare avanata akila loka tibra soka srushagara vishoshana matyudara sammohanaya rachitum nijamaya yasya brumandalam manikrute magaratva jasya. Ha samhare avanata akila loka tibra. So the people outside, they are suffering. So they are tibra, akila loka tibra. So the outside material world is putting them into so much of miseries. But by looking at the smiling glance of the Lord, one gets satisfaction. One that burning fire gets put off. Sokashu Sagara Visoshanam. It's like a ocean of misery, but it's getting dried up by looking at the smiling face of the Lord. And then the eyebrows of the Lord are capable of even captivating Magaratvaja, the one who is called Cupid, who captivates everybody. So why is the material world running after so much of pleasure? Is because they are driven by sex pleasure. That is the prime force behind accumulating money. And Prabhupada sees why there are so many big buildings. He says it's all because of sex desire. So here, by seeing the face of the Lord, especially the eyebrows, one is able to overcome sex desire. By being able to overcome sex desire, he gets that higher taste and being satisfied in the Lord's service. So then one does not have to go behind money and all the material possessions that he has to accumulate. He does not have to get pleasure by that means. So you naturally become detached from house, home, family, simultaneously maintaining them properly. Your excessive desire to accumulate things and whatever the economy, whether it is high or low, you are experiencing that particular higher taste and you are under the protection of the Lord. That is how, by practicing bhakti, one can overcome his own economic problem by being properly situated in the Varnashram system. And he knows the ultimate objective is that I have to satisfy the Lord. That's why in the last line, Prabhupada writes, one has to be trained in the Varnashram system so that the money is spent only for good causes and nothing else. Whether the government prints more money or not, you are satisfied. Whether there is inflation or deflation, whether the economy is going well or not well, you are under the protection of the Lord, because the Lord is giving his merciful glances. By looking at his beautiful form and meditating on that form, you are getting satisfaction. By that satisfaction, your greed, all that is getting taken away. Your ignorance is getting removed. So by all these factors, you know the aim of life is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, the process of bhakti yoga helps one overcome the economic problem and then the problem of excessive accumulation and greed. So once a person gets this higher knowledge, it is also his responsibility that he shares it with others. You expose others also to this environment where their greed, their ignorance, their excessive desires also get pacified. You're giving them a working model so that you're not just telling things in the theory, but then you also show them a working model. So in that way, you not only imbibe the practice of bhakti yoga and yourself, you also encourage others, you facilitate others to practice Bhakti Yoga. I'll stop here and then see if there are any questions related to what we discussed. Okay, there are no questions, we'll conclude here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharasana Bhagavatam ki.